Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem He. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas, Ida Cinnamon, Chaya Bas Rub Shmuel Yosef, and also Aranka Goldschmidt, Golda Bas Rub Yitzchok. All the Nishamas you've learned for should have an Aliyah. We begin about 10 lines from the top of Mem He and Mun Aleph at the two dots, where we quote the Mishnah, where it says, V'chola Yotzin Lahatzel Cholzulim Komam. If you remember from yesterday's share, we started the Mishnah that taught us that if people had permission to go out from their tchum on Shabbos or Yontif, and they did so with a halachic rite, so the beginning, the reisha of the Mishnah said, they're given by rabbinical decree an additional 2,000 amos. Once they're outside their tchum, they normally only have the dalet amos that they're in, but here, because they were going out for a dvar mitzvah to do something good, they were given 2,000 amos. But then at the end of the Mishnah, it said, v'chol ha'yotzim l'hatzel chozim l'komam. If they went out, they're allowed to go back. So there's obviously a stira over here, and that's what the Gemara is now going to ask. V'afilu tuva, and they can go back beyond 2,000 amos. For Amris Reisha, Alpayim Amo Vesulo, but the Reisha of the Mishnah said that if you went outside your tchum, so then you're allowed a new tchum of 2,000 amos, but you can't go more than that. And the Sefer we just said that Kol Yotzin, Lahatzil, Chosil, Mekom, they can go all the way back. So how do you reconcile the Reisha and the Sefer of the Mishnah? Some of Yehuda Marav, tells us, Shechozrin b'chli zayin l'mekomon. He says that in the second part, it's not saying that they go all the way back. It means that they're allowed to go and take their weapons with them. You might have thought that when they went out to meet the marauding troops that were attacking the Jewish people, so they would have to leave their weapons there and couldn't carry them back. So no, the answer is they're allowed to take them back, but only 2,000 amos. They can't go all the way back. When it said in the Mishnah, Yotzin lahatzil chozulim komam, it meant the 2,000 amas, they can bring it with them. That's what Rav Yudam Rav says. Now, the Gemara says, why do you have to interpret it that way? Umay Kusha, why do you have to say that the Reish and Sefer are both talking about the same scenario? Why not say the Reish is talking about everybody else but the marauding troops, and the Sefer is talking about the marauding troops, and they're allowed to go all the way back? Dilma lahatzil shiny. Maybe the Sefer, where it's talking about that they're allowed to go all the way back home, is different than the Reisha, which is talking about like the midwife going out, the Hatzolah guy going out. So maybe there's a difference. What forced Rav Yehuda Marav to give the explanation that we just said it's talking about the Klei Zayin, that you can carry the weapons back, but you can't go beyond 2,000 amos? So where says you're right, Eli Kasha Hokasha. The following is the reason why Rav Yehuda Marav was forced to interpret the Mishnah the way we just said. Did not, because we have another Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Again, it's beautiful that we have Mishnayis here in Rosh Hashanah. Berishona lo yozaz misham kol hayom kula. That when you're dealing over here with the Eidos on the Chodesh, the witnesses who saw the new moon, so they're allowed to even be Mechal Shabbos to go and say that they saw the new moon. But once they go there and they're not needed, so they have to stay there within their Dalet Amos. They can't move. And along came Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin. Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin came along and said, no, we'll give them Yeshlem Alpayim Amo L'chol Ruach. We'll give them 2,000 Amos to go in every direction, because otherwise they're not going to come the next time if they know they're going to be held to not moving more than Dalet Amos if they're not needed. So therefore, we give them 2,000 Amos in all directions. And not only the people who are coming to testify about the new moon, below Elu Bavad Amru, not only for these people was this additional leniency provided. El afilu chachoma habalele, even a chachoma, a midwife, that is going to assist somebody in giving birth, the OBGYN, the midwife. And here it says beferish, and those that are coming to go and fend off from a marauding army. And likewise, umina nohar, somebody's going to go and help put up sandbags by the river so it shouldn't overflow, or Minabapolis, or to go and quickly take things out from a building that's about to fall down, or to save people from a fallen down building, from the rubble, or Minadleka, if there's a fire to go and help with that. All of these people are going out, Lidvar Mitzvah, for a positive thing. So Harehein Ka'anshia Yir, they're given the full extent of the people in that city that they went to, and we give them 2,000 amas. If it wasn't a city, we would give them 2,000 amas only, but here they have the whole city to walk in, as well as the 2,000 amas. However, visulo, but they don't get to go back to their houses. It's just a limit of 2,000 amas. So in our Mishnah, if you interpret it, you're giving them 2,000 amas. Oh, you want to say what it's talking about everybody but the marauding troops. And in our Mishnah, we're talking about the marauding troops. No, in this Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, it also said v'habol ha'atzel min ha'gayis. And yet, v'sulo, you can't have the 2,000 amos, more than the 2,000 amos. So there would be a steer between the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah and our Mishnah. V'armiz kol ha'yotzel ha'atzel chozul l'komam. If you interpret it literally, it means they could go back, afilu tuva, much more than 2,000 amos. So this is a problem. So Rav Yehuda Marav, on this, Rav Yehuda Marav said, shechozrim b'chlei zayin l'mekomam. The chiddush is that they're allowed to go back with their weapons to the start of the 2,000 amos, or to the end of the 2,000 amos. They can't go further than that. They can't go all the way back to their houses. Now the two Mishnayos are all reconciled. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda Marav had to forcibly, so to say, explain our Mishnah in this fashion, to not only get rid of the stira between the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah and our Mishnah, but also to make the Mishnah not mutually contradictory, because otherwise the Rashi and the Sefer wouldn't agree. Kidatanya, and this is what we learned in a Tosefta. It says, originally, they had to put their weapons, as soon as they got within the city, so they were somewhat safe, they could put their weapons down there by the first house where it was safe to put it. One time, they would put the weapons in the house, Samach L'choma, Pamachas, Hikiru Behem Oidin. The enemy saw where they put their weapons down, and they chased after them further. So they quickly ran into the house to try to get their weapons. And the enemy also went into the house, and there was a huge hullabaloo. And in their fear and in the anxiety and in the panic, they pushed against each other, and more people were killed in the stampede, in the running around in this house to get their weapons, more than the enemy killed themselves. So therefore, be also sure, at that moment the rabbi said, so at that point the rabbi said, don't go put your weapons in the first place that it's safe to go. No, you can carry your weapons the entire 2,000 amos. Wherever you're going, you can have your weapons with you. That's the teretz. And that's why Rav Yehuda Marav understood the Mishnah the way that he did. And it says, is only talking about their weapons with them, but not that they go all the way back to the house. The rule is that Gamliel Azorkin gave everybody 2,000 amos, but no more. That's teretz number one. Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, the way you can reconcile the ration, the safe of the Mishnah is as follows. Oma Lokasha. When we defeated the Goyim, so then we only get over here 2,000 amos. But Kan shenitzchu umos ha'olam es atzmo nebuch. If we lost, we use a euphemism here, nitzchu umos ha'olam es atzmo, they defeated themselves. That means they defeated Nebuch, the Israeli army. They defeated the Jews, and therefore they have to run all the way. So then they're allowed to run all the way back to their homes. Then it is permissible. Only in that case, however, is it permissible to go all the way back home. Otherwise, if they won, so then they just had the 2,000 amos, but no more. Amar Yehuda Marav, another statement from Yehuda Marav, Nochrim Shetzaru Ala Yoris Yisrael. The enemy, the Goyim, that Nebuch were attacking the Jewish cities, they put a siege around the Jewish city, so Ein Yotzin Aleim Bechleizin, and you're not allowed to go attack them on Shabbos. When they put the siege on you, you can attack them on a weekday, but you can't put the attack on them on Shabbos. We'll see that we're talking here where there's zero Pikuach Nefashos. The Ein Mechalin Aleis HaShabbos, and you're not allowed to do anything to Mechal with Shabbos, because all they're doing, for example, is as they're putting a chokehold on the economy, but there's zero risk of Pikuach Nefashos. If there's any risk of Pikuach Nefashos, of course you can be Mechal with Shabbos. So here it's just for economic reasons. So therefore, you're not letting go for economic reasons. Let me mechallel Shabbos. That's what the first statement of Yehuda Marav says. But then we have a braisa, Tani Nami Yochi, we have a braisa that says very much like what Yehuda Marav says, as follows. Nochum Shetzaru V'chule. It doesn't even go and repeat the entire statement Yehuda Marav said. The Nochum that surrounded, they sieged the Jewish city, or the people that decide that are Jewish. So you're not allowed to go fight them. And you're not allowed to go fight them on Shabbos. And likewise, that's what the V'chuli means. But here the Brice expands. The Tosefta says, by Medvarum, under what circumstances are you not allowed to fight them on Shabbos? Kishabol is Kimamun, when it's purely for economic reasons, for financial reasons. However, Avobal is Kinefoshos, if it's at all a life-threatening scenario, so of course you go fight with them. Yotzim Aleim Bechlei Zenon, you're allowed to go out with your full weapons and fight them on Shabbos. Umechalon Lens HaShabbos, and you can do anything that would normally be called Chilu Shabbos, because here, you're allowed to be Mechalu Shabbos, except for the three cardinal sins, except for Gila Arai, Shuchas Don, and Avodah Zarah. You can't do those, but for anything else that's putting you in a life-threatening situation, you can be Mechalu Shabbos, you can be doing all the other quote, Averis in the Torah, because here it's not an Averis to do it when it's a life-threatening situation. Then the Braisa adds, the Tosefta adds, ubi'ir ha'smucha le'sapor, and in a Jewish city that is near the border. So then, even afilu lobo aliske nefashos ella aliske teven v'kash, then even if they're not coming at you for life-threatening reasons, and they're only coming at you for financial benefit, they want to steal your teven and your kash, they want to rip off some of your crops. So then, if it's a border town, if it's a ir hasmuch l'sapar, the sapar is the border, so if it's a city that's right next to the border, then even if they only attack you for financial reasons on Shabbos, yotzei nalein b'chol zeinon, you're allowed to go fight with them with your weapons, v'chal nes Shabbos, you're allowed to v'chal Shabbos. Rashi explains, because if you make a breach in this border city, so then it would lead the goyim to be able to come right in. And therefore, in this situation, when you have this city that is, so to say, interposing between the rest of Klal Yisrael and the Goyish nations, so Yosin Alein, you're allowed to go out, Rashi says, Shemo you could do it, because if they capture the city, and then they have a direct path into the rest of Israel and the rest of the Jewish people, so therefore, here you can fight, even if it's only for financial benefit that they attack, but it has the potential to lead to trouble, and therefore you're allowed to even fight in this situation, be Mechal Shabbos. So that's what the Brice has said, and that's in accord with what Yehuda Amar Rav said. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Min Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Yosef Bar Min Yumi said the name of Rav Nachman, Ubavel, the city called Bavel. We'll see it doesn't mean a specific city called Bavel. We'll see it means the city of Nardoi in a second. Ki'ir Asmucha L'Sapar Damya, the city Bavel is considered like a border town, and even if they attack this city in Bavel, it would allow the Jewish people to go and fight them, even if they only attack them on Shabbos for financial reasons, because it's like a border city, you'd be even allowed to fight them on Shabbos, Michal Shabbos, to protect this border city. The Targuma, what is the name of this border city? Bavel, Nardoi. It was called the city of Nardoi. And Rashi explains that this was like the city that was the first city next to the Goyim, and it was the open passageway into the rest of the Jewish cities. And if they had captured or hurt this city Nardoi, they would have had an open path to attack the rest of the Jewish people. So here, it was pikuach nefashos, even though they only came for financial reasons, and they attacked for financial benefit. Now we have Darish Rab Dustoy Dimin Biri. Rab Dustoy, who came from the city known as Biri, said the following. What does the pasuk mean in Shmuel Aleph? Where it says, Vayagidu leDavid leMar, Hine Plishtim Nulchamim beKeila. They told David that the Plishtim are coming and attacking the city of Keila. They Mashosin and Sagranos. And they're also going and taking all the crops from the silos, from the threshing places. So it said, Tano Keila ir hasmucha l'sapar hoisa. So the Braisa tells us that Keila was a border city. It was a city that was right on the border between the Plishtim and Eretz Yisrael. And these Plishtim were coming only to attack for financial reasons. Ve'im lobo el aliske teben v'kash, as the pasuk says, Nilsiv, ve'im ashosim esagranos. They came to pillage the Jewish people's crops from those areas. And yet, it says there, Usiv v'yishal David b'ashem le'mor. It said, David asked the Urim v'Tumim, what should I do? Ha'ilech v'kisi b'plishtim o'ailech. Should I go and fight the Plishtim? Should I go and attack them? And the Urim V'Tumim responded, Vayomar Hashem al David, Hashem said to David, Lech v'kiso. Now the Gisa we have is ba'plishtim, but the pasuk should be esa'plishtim, v'hoshato es ki'ilo, and go and save the people in ki'ilo, in this town of ki'ilo. Now, it's very strange that David should ask a shaila to the Urim V'Tumim, what sounds like it's a halacha. After all, what was David asking? Ilema ishari i'osor, am I allowed to go fight a border town or not, for they're coming and attacking the border town for financial reasons only? Am I allowed to fight it or not? So you don't ask the Urim V'Tumim halacha shailas. Lo b'shamayvi. Hari Beis Dino shel Shmuel haramasi kayim. Should have asked Shmuel's Beis Din. Shmuel still was alive. Shmuel haramasi was still kayim. And therefore, he should have asked Shmuel. He should have asked the Beis Din of Shmuel. Is this permissible or not? So it couldn't have been a halacha shaila, because they were asking the Urim V'Tumim. What did they ask the Urim V'Tumim? Normally, Elo imatzliach ilo mitzlach. Are we going to be successful or are we not going to be successful? That's what you ask the Urim V'Tumim, not a halacha. You ask it to provide you basically what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say is going to happen. So therefore, they are asking, should we or should we not attack this town? Will we win? And Daikonami, the Siv, the Urim V'Tumim responded, yes, lech, b'kisa b'plishtim, or esa plishtim. Go and attack the plishtim. and Voshato Eskila, and you will be successful. So that's what he was asking the Plishtim, the Urim Vatumim. Should we fight the Plishtim or not? Will we be successful or not? He wasn't asking you're allowed to. The halacha is that even if they're coming on you for financial attack, they want to just steal your crops, but if it's a border town, then you're allowed to go fight them, even on Shabbos, and even B'chal Shabbos. Shema Minah, that's a good raya. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins and says, Mishi Yosha Baderek, that's the gizzard we have. Somebody was sitting on the road, and he's making his camp for the night on a Friday night. Others have the gears on the side. He says from the Shiltos, Mishi Yosha Baderek. He went to sleep over there. That's where he went to sleep. And it's Friday night. That's where he's calling his Mokum Shvisa. But the next morning he gets up, and now in the light of day, he sees, Vara, Hare, Zehu, Samuch Liyer. He sees he's right near the city. He's within 2,000 amas of the city. Now, when you're within 2,000 amas of the city, so not only do you get your 2,000 amas, but you get the whole city as being Dalet Amos. So therefore, Hoel V'loid Sokav Anoso Lekach. However, the Tanakhama, the Mishnah, which we'll see, is Rav Meir, says he didn't know that. He didn't realize he was within 2,000 amas of the city, so guess what? He doesn't get the city as Dalet Amos. Lo Yikonez Divrei Rav Meir. He's not allowed to go into the city more than where his 2,000 amas lead up to. So he's allowed to go in up to 2,000 amos. But since he didn't know that the city is there, he's not considered, as Rashi says, Leos Ka'an She'ir, he's not like considered one of the people of the city. Ella, Mimokom She'choshkolo, Moded Alpayim Psios, Beninus. So from the place where he actually slept, we stayed over, he gets 2,000 amas, that's his focal point. And as far as it goes into the city, so if it goes in halfway to the city, a third way into the city, three quarters of the way into the city, that's his 2,000 amas, but he doesn't get the entire city because he didn't know about it. And that is, in fact, the opinion of Rav Meir, Divrei Rav Meir. He's a Tanakama. Since he didn't know about it, he doesn't get it. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't make any difference. Rabbi Yehuda says he is considered within the 2,000 amos of the city, so it's like the city is his focal place, and therefore he's like all the people in the city that he has 2,000 amos from outside of the city to go. Yikones, he gets to go in. And Maisa Shahoyah, Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Shahoyah, Venechlis Rabbi Tarfon, Lomas Kabi. This exact story happened to Rabbi Tarfon. He went into the city and he took the tum of the people of the city for that Shabbos, exactly like Rabbi Yehuda says is the halacha. Tiny, we learn in the Brisa. Gemara starts and says, "Amar Yehuda, Ma'aseh Rabbi Tarfon, Shoyu Mahalik Baderech." It expands a little bit on the story that we had in the Mishnah. It says one time Rabbi Tarfon was going on the road, V'chosh Chalo, and it got dark on Friday afternoon, so he went to sleep. V'lon Chutz La'ir, and he went to sleep outside of the city. He didn't realize the city was there. L'shachris, he gets up the next morning. It's now light. Mitzohu Roy Boker, some shepherds find him and they tell him, "Amalo Rabbi, Rabbi Tarfon." You come into the city. Hikanes, go into the city and use the city as your mokum shvisa, as your 2,000 amas in all directions outside of the city. And that's what he did. Nichnas, Rabbi Tarfon went in. V'yoshav Beis HaMedrash, he went to the Beis HaMedrash. V'dorash kol hayom kulo. And he sat there all day learning. In other words, he considered himself like a person who lived in the city. This is exactly a riot to Rav Yehuda. When he said that this is why Rabbi Tarfon went in, because even though you may not have known about it, Shalom Miskaven, you didn't realize that there was somebody, there was a city over there, you nevertheless you're allowed to take advantage of it. That's the Gemara. Now, the Gersa that we have is Armulo, the Talmidim, told either Rabbi Tarfon or Rabbi Yehuda, or on the side it says that the Gersa, the Shiltos, is that Amar Le Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, you bring me a Raya from there, Shema Belibo Haisa. Maybe he knew about the city, right? He lives in that area. So he says, I know I'm within 1,000 amas of the city. So therefore, the city is my Malkum Shvisa. And that's why he was able to go into the city, into the Beis Medrash. Or maybe, Beis Medrash, Muvla B'soch Tumahaya. Okay, he didn't know about the city, and he gets 2,000 amas from where he slept. And guess what? The Beis Medrash was within the 2,000 amas of where he slept. It doesn't say he traveled all over the city. It said that he went into the Beis Medrash and stayed there all day. Haraya! Maybe, in fact, that's why he stayed at the Beis Medrash, because he couldn't go outside the Beis Medrash. That would have been outside his 2,000 amas. So you can't bring me Uriah from here, the Gemara says. Next Mishnah. If somebody fell asleep on the road, now maybe that's why the previous Mishnah also had the gears of Mishu Yoshe Maderech. In any event here, the fact that he's asleep is much more critical. So if somebody fell asleep on Erev Shabbos, and he's asleep during the Banish Moshe's period of time, V'lo yoda shechashecha, the gears on the side is, he didn't wake up ad shechashecha, until it was dark. So this person, does he or does he not have a tchum? He was not compus mentis at the time that he was supposed to establish his Mokum Shvisa. He was asleep. So therefore, if a person is asleep during the Ben HaShemashos period of time, and he's not in his house, Tosus points out, if in his house, then it's not even a concern, because of course, your house is where you want it to be. But here, he didn't have a house, he wasn't in his house, so therefore, maybe, as we'll see, he doesn't have any Mokum Shvis at all. In any event, the Tanakhama says, in this situation, he does have a Mokum Shvisa. Wherever he is, at the start of Shabbos, that's his Mokum Shvisa, and Yesh Lo Apayim Amo L'chol Ruach, Divri Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. This is the Shita, we had this the other day. This is Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Shita, that even though a person is asleep, he still gets his 2,000 Amos from the point that he fell asleep, even though he had no conscious thought at that point in time, when you normally would establish your Mokum Shvisa. At the start of Shabbos, he was out, he was asleep, nevertheless, he still has it. But the Chacham disagree. The Chacham amin, ain lo ela arba amos. The Chacham say, no, this person has no tum. It's like he went out of his tum. He never established a tum. If you didn't establish a tum, you only get dalet amos. Now, how do you define this dalet amos? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, vu b'emtson, it's dalet amos total. You get two to the left of where you're standing and two to the right of where you're standing. Two in front of you, two behind you. You're the epicenter of a circle that has a diameter of 4 amos, but you don't get to go 4 amos to your right and 4 amos to your left. You only get to go 2 amos to your right and 2 amos to your left, 2 amos in front of you, 2 amos behind you. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You get 4 amos in any one direction. So pick one. Either 4 amos to your right, 4 amos to your left, 4 amos in front of you, 4 amos behind you, or split it up and stop in any way, and that's what you have. But you don't. If you go 4 amos to the right, then you don't have 4 amos to the left. But Umod Rav Yehuda Shembira Lo Shniyochel Lachzer Bo. Rav Yehuda says also why you can originally pick whichever one you want. Once you picked it, you can't retract it. You can't say, "Well, this was for the first half hour. This will be for the next half hour. This will be for tomorrow morning." You can't do that. Once you pick it, that's what it is for that whole Shabbos. That's the first section of the Mishnah, which we'll spend a lot of time the rest of the Shia discussing. Second part of the mission we won't get to today. Hayushnayim, if there are two people over there, and they each have their own dalet amos, they're not right on top of each other, so they're near each other, but they have some overlap. So if there are two people, hayushnayim, mitzas amosu shozeh, besoch amosu shozeh, if person number one, Reuven, is sitting in one spot, and Shimon is 2 amos away from him, sitting in the other spot, so each of them has, according to Rabbi Eliezer, 2 amos in every direction, so they're overlapping in the 2 amos that are between them. So in this situation, when you say the two people there, mixes amos shozeh, besoch amos shozeh, mevi in v'ochlim be'emsa, in the 2 amos that they overlap, that it's muvla, so there they're allowed to go and share whatever they want, because each of them has the right to be there. So they can share food, they can share utensils, etc. Turn to the base. However, uvavach lo yotzizeh mitoch shelo, v'soch shechavero. So let's say Reuven, so he had some forks, and he gives Shimon a fork. So as long as Shimon is within the 2 amos that's in between him with that fork, it's fine. But let's say he turns to the other side and brings the fork to the other side. So then he can't do that because the fork is outside its tum. The fork has the tum of the owner. The food has the tum of the owner. So here, that fork, that food cannot go beyond the area that is shared between them. The area that's muvla between them. Likewise, the Mishnah continues, Hayushlosha. If you have 3 people, so you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven is all the way to the left. Shimon is in the middle. Levi is all the way to the right. And they're each 2 amos away from each other. So there are 2 amos in between Reuven and Shimon. There's 2 amos between Shimon and Levi. So Reuven and Levi are more than 4 amos away from each other. So they have no overlap whatsoever. But Reuven overlaps with Shimon, and Levi overlaps with Shimon. So in the area where they overlap, so Reuven is allowed to be in part of that area, and Shimon can be in part of that area. And in the area where Levi overlaps with Shimon, both of them can be in that area. So in the middle area, Mutter, and that is in the Amtsoi, is Muvla Benen, it's all swallowed up in between them. So in this situation, Hu Mutter Imahen, Fe Mutter Nimo. So the 4 Amos that are encompassed in Reuven's area and in Levi's area, each of them has 2 Amos overlapping with Shimon in the middle. So Shimon has, let's say, the salt from Reuven, and he has the pepper from Levi. So he can have both of them within his dalet amos. There's 2 amos to the left, there's 2 amos to the right, because it's overlapping the salt with Reuven. That's no problem. And he can have the salt, the pepper from Levi. But he can't mix them. He can't bring the salt from Reuven all the way into the area of Levi. And he can't bring the pepper from Levi all the way over to the area of Reuven. So he has to be very careful. It's only within the areas that they overlap that you're allowed to have overlap. But the area beyond that is Osir. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. Hayu Shloshet, there were these 3 people. Shimon can interact with Reuven and Levi, but they can't interact with each other. Who mutarim bahem? Reuven can interact with Shimon. Shimon can interact with Levi, but Reuven can't interact with Levi. They mutarin imo. Each of them can interact with him in the middle. Ushtai machitzonim asurin zemzeh. But Reuven and Levi on the outer parts cannot interact at all. If you couldn't follow this along, you can see this in the diagram of the art scroll in footnote number 3. And this is nicely illustrated in the diagram in the Illustrated Gemara, page 60, diagram number 179. The previous case was diagram number 178. And you can see this as well in the Perush Chai. The diagrams for this sugya started on page 91 with diagram number 20 and number 21. And this diagram that we're talking about can be clearly illustrated in diagram number 22 on page 92. The Mishnah continues and says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon, lemaha David domer. In what case is this analogous to that we just had these three people?" He says it's analogous to the case of l'shlosh chatzeros ha'pesuchos zulazu. This is three courtyards that are opened up. You have courtyard A, B, and C that are opened up A into B into C. And you can see a diagram in the art scroll in footnote number 6. And you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara in page 60, diagram number 180. And in this situation, it's analogous to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi in the previous case that I mentioned. So each of them is psuchos to each other, A into B into C. So A and B are connected, B and C are connected, but A and C don't have any direct connection. And each of them opens up with posechus l'shus harabim. So they all open up into l'shus harabim, so they're not fully enclosed. Now, if A made an Erev with B, and B made an Erev with C, so then A and B can carry between their two chatzeros, and B and C can carry within their two chatzeros, so he muteres imohen, they muteres imah. So the middle chatzer can interact with the outer chatzer on either side. But you can't transfer ushtai mechitzonos asuro zum zu. You can't bring anything from A into C, because they're not allowed to go from one to the other. So this is analogous to that case. Now we start the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says, "Boy Rava." Rava asked the following shayla: "My kasavar of Yochanan ben Nuri. What exactly in the ratio of the Mishnah was Rav Yochanan ben Nuri's idea? Remember, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri said that if the person was sleeping, he is kona his shvisa and he gets his 2,000 amos. Do we say Mizbar Kosava that his opinion is Heftse Hefker Konin Shvisa, that a inanimate object, something that's Hefker, does have its own Shvisa as well? It's not owned by somebody. Otherwise, objects depends on the person who owns them, the food or the kli. Whoever owns it, the object, the food or the kli, follows the tchum of that person. So Heftse Hefker, he says Konin Shvisa. If it's not owned by anybody, so then wherever that item is, that's its Mokum Shvisa and it gets 2,000 amos. Ubedinhu, and in order for it really to have been a better argument, the liflo bekalim. Instead of saying it's a person sleeping, you should have said your ball is over there, and nobody owns the ball. So then, the inanimate item, the ball, has a mokum shvisa, 2,000 amos in every direction. So that would have been a bigger chiddush. But why did it give us the case of the man sleeping? The only reason it told us that Yochanan ben Nuri says even if a person is sleeping is lodia kocha the rabbanon. It's less of a chiddush for Yochanan ben Nuri, but it's a bigger chiddush for the rabbanon. The rabbanon say that inanimate objects don't have imokum shvisa, and even a human being who is not going to be awake, so he also doesn't have imokum shvisa. That's a bigger chiddush, and that's why I wanted to tell us the Aldiach Koch and the Rabbanon that even a human being, Dafogav the Ikal Lameima, you might have thought, oh well, on the normal circumstances, V'nior Kone, if he is awake, he's able to acquire Mokum Shvisa. So I might have thought, Yoshe Nami Kone. So I might have thought that Chacham say, since even though he's now asleep, but if he was awake, he could be Kone. So even if he's asleep, he could be Kone. Kamash V'lon, the Chacham and the Rabbanon, they hold that no, a sleeping person is not Kone and Mokum Shvisa no matter what. Oh, that's why he had to tell me that. And that's a bigger chiddush. Dolo, kamash v'lon dolo. Oh, Dilmo, or do we say maybe, Kesavar of Yochanan ben Nuri, in fact, Yochanan ben Nuri agrees with the Chachamim, the Alma, Chetzi Hefka, ain't Kone Shvisa. In general, items that are inanimate, they don't have their own Shvisa. And whoever picks it up, the item will have that person's Shvisa. So why is he arguing here? V'hocha, hainu taima. Here, he's saying that a human being is different. Ho, the Neor Kone, since if he was awake, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, everybody agrees his kone is mokum shvisa. So then, there's a special heter over here, yoshe nami kone. So a human being will be able to be kone as well, even though he's asleep. But inanimate objects, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri agrees with the Chachamim, and there is nobody that holds that an inanimate object has its own mokum shvisa. It's kone etrum. So that was the question that Rava asked. What does Rav Yochanan ben Nuri hold? Is it by kalim and a sleeping person? Or does he agree with the Chachamim by Kelim? There is no Mokum Shvisa. The inanimate object can't get a Tchum. And it's only by human being that he argues with the Chachamim. That was the question that Rabbi asked. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, I'll show you a riot from the following Braisa. Toshma, Gishomim Sheyardu Me'er Yontif. If rain fell on Erev Yontif, Yesh L'Napayimam L'Cha Ruach. The rain will have its own independent Tchum of 2,000 Amos in every direction. Oh! This is the answer, that there is a Tanoic opinion in this price, and it says that inanimate objects do in fact get a Mokum Shvisa, they do in fact have a Tchum. By the way, Hare, if it fell on Yontif, Yontif, Hare in Kiragle kol Adam. But if it fell on Yontif itself, so then whoever picks it up, that will be the person that will be able to determine the water where it can go. Now, let's understand this price. If you in fact learn this brisa, then inanimate objects such as rain or a ball or a keli can in fact have their own shvisa if they belong to nobody. So then, whose opinion is this brisa? Hamani, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Oh, very good. Hamani, Rav Yochanan he. This is the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Works out very well. If in fact you want to tell me that Rav Yochanan ben Nuri does not disagree with the Chachamim, and he also says that Chetzei Hefker do not have the ability to be Kodesh Shvisa, an inanimate object does not get a Tchum. So then, who's the author of this Raisa? Hamani. It's not Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, but Lori Wanan. It's neither one. Ergo, it must be that, in fact, the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is that both inanimate objects and a sleeping person can be Kodesh Shvisa, they do have a Tchum. Oh, that's what Rav Yosef told Rav. Now, Abayir, who's the Talmud of Rav Yosef, heard this as well. Yosef Abayi v'kon lo shmaisa. So he told over his Rebbe. He told over Yosef's Torah here. And Amalei Rav Safra l'Abayi. So Rav Safra, when he told this over from Abayi, so he questioned Abayi. And Rav Safra said to Abayi, who says that that's true? V'dumo b'gishomim hasmuchin l'yir askinan. Maybe this Braisa, Rav Yosef is wrong in understanding the Braisa to be supportive of Yochanan ben Nuri. Maybe the only reason why, if the rain fell in Erev Yontif, it has a Shvisa, is because the people in the adjacent area, in the town that was right there, said, hey, any rain that falls, we're going to keep for ourselves. V'yanshi oso ir, daitom ilayu. So they basically were kona that water. And that's why it has a Tchum, because they gave it a Tchum. So that's where Rav Safra asked Abayi. So Amalei, Abayi tells him, lo, impossible. Lo sokadaita, don't think that for a second. Why not? Because we have another Mishnah in Beitza, that Nan, when you have there a bar shel yochid, you have a pit of a private person, so the water inside this pit belongs to him. And therefore, kiragli yochid, its tchum will be his, just like all of his inanimate objects follow his tchum. So too, this water in the pit follows his tchum. If, however, the pit belonged to the city, to the townspeople, v'shalo so'ir, if you had a pit filled with water, a reservoir filled with water, then it has the tchum, kiragli o'so'ir. It doesn't have the individuals in the city, might have different tchumim. This one made a tchum on this side, this one made a tchum on that side. So you don't look at that. You just look at the city. Wherever the people of the city, that's their tchum. So the water has this tchum, even though an individual in the city might not have that tchum. And finally, the third category is Vishaloli Babel. This Braisa tells us that this Mishnah in Beitza tells us that the people who are going to be Olu Regel coming from Babel, any water in the wells on the way is Kiragle Hamemale. Whoever goes and takes the water out from those wells, so it has that person's Tchum. Now, this first Mishnah in Beitza tells us that it follows the water in these wells, follows not the Tchum of the well, but it follows the Tchum and the person will pick it out. But another Braisa says, V'tanya barshel shvatim, the equivalent of the Oli Babel, the pits that the shvatim would use to go and get water from when they went up to Eretz Yisrael, yeshlem alpayim ama l'chol ruach. They only have alpayim ama l'chol ruach. In other words, they don't follow the person who picks them up, cannot kiragle hamamale, but this Braisa says that they have 2,000 amas from the well, and that's it. So kashna dodi, the Mishnah Beitza says it goes like kiragle hamamale, and the Braisa says it goes like the alpayim ama. Not like the raglayim of the Borishol Shvatim, what you would have thought. So there's a stira here. Elo, must be two different opinions. Elo lav shmamino, it must be. Ha Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. The last braisa says that the water in the well is acquiring its own tchum. So since nobody picked it up at the start of Shabbos Yontif, so therefore it has the tchum of the well. Kiragle, over here, the alpayim amal chol ruach. Not like the people who picked it up. And the Mishnah in Beitzah, Rabbanon, that is like the opinion of the Rabbanon that says it doesn't have inanimate objects. Don't get a tchum. They aren't koni their own tchum. And whoever picks it up, it follows the water, will follow that person's tchum. Oh, that's what Rav Yosef said, to reconcile what seems to be a steer between the Mishnah and Beitzah and the Braisa. So you answer it up by saying that the Braisa is Reuchon and Nuri, and the Mishnah is the opinion of the Chachamim. Life is good. That's the answer that Abaye told Rav Safra. Abaye was very, very happy with his answer. And he returned to his Rebbe, because of the Rav Yosef, he told him the entire shakal attire that he had with Rav Safra. Amalei Hachi Kamar, Rav Safra, this is where Rav Safra questioned you, Vahachi Ahadrile, and I proved to him that his Raya was not a good Raya. And I reconciled the Mishnah and Beitza with the Braisa, and I saved your sheet to Rebbe. So Amalei, so Rav Yosef says to him, what'd you have to do it that way? Vamailo Temalei Migufa. From the original Braisa that I quoted, the Gishamim Shiardu Me'er of Yontif, there was the answer to my shita. And if you tried, like Rav Safra wanted to say, that who says that was unowned rainwater, it was really owned by the people in the town that was adjacent to it. They were machashiv that water. So then, would it have said that the water has a pai mam l'choruach? No. It should have said, anshi osu ir. If that was right, if Rav Safra was right, the terminology was wrong. If Rav Safra was right, it should have said the water that fell in Erev Yontif has the tchum of the people living in the adjacent city. But that's not what it said. It said that it has alpai mam l'chol ruach. Oh, that's the raya that Chavtzei Hefker are in fact kone a shvisa, exactly like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says. The Gemara continues, Amar Mar, we repeat what we just said, B'yom tov harei hein kiragle kol odom. We said in the Braisa that if the rains fell on Yontif, so then they are like the raglayim of any person that picks it up. V'amayi Gemara says, Likne shviso b'yoki onus, the waters should have gotten on Erev Shabbos the tchum that they had by being in the Atlantic Ocean, by being in whatever ocean they were in, the Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean, all the oceans of the world, or what supplied the clouds with the rain. So, Mistama, at the start of Shabbos, the water was in the Atlantic Ocean, in the Mediterranean Sea. And therefore, that's its Mokum Shvisa. How come we're saying over here, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, that it has Kiragle Kol Odom? We should have said, Vamai, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, Likne Shvisa B'Yokianus. It already has a Tchum. Shmuel says, Lema Deloker B'Eliezer. Maybe he holds, not like Rabbi Eliezer. What did Rabbi Eliezer say? Dik Rabbi Eliezer, because if he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, Ha'amar kol olam kula mimei okiyonus hushose, because Rabbi Eliezer says that the rain comes from the oceans. The water evaporates and goes up into the clouds, and then it comes down again. So maybe he doesn't hold like Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, that's why the water is not considered to have a mokum shvisa in the ocean on Erev Shabbos. But that's not true. Everybody seems to hold from Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yitzchak, you know why? The clouds were already present at the start of Shabbos. Before Shabbos was there, the clouds were there. And therefore, in this situation, the water is not in the Atlantic, it's not in the oceans or the Mediterranean, but it's in the clouds already at the start of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, maybe those clouds that were there on Erev Shabbos already dispersed, and these are new clouds. How do you know that this water is not in the Atlantic at the start of Shabbos, in the Mediterranean at the start of Shabbos, and it was in the clouds? The Gemara says, because they recognized the clouds. The clouds were in a certain shape. The clouds, he was watching them. He knew that they were there beforehand. So therefore, we know for a fact that the water in the clouds wasn't in the Atlantic at the start of Shabbos. That's Teretz number one. The Bayis Eimah, Heavy Sofik de Divrehem. This is a Machlokis de Rabbanon. The whole question over here of Tchum is a Din de Rabbanon. The Sofik de Divrehem, and whether they were Kona Shvisa or not, in the Atlantic or in the Mediterranean, on Erev Shabbos, is a Machlokis de Rabbanon, a Sofik de Rabbanon. And therefore, Sofik de Divrehem, Lahakel. It's fine. Gemara says, wait a second. Velikne Shvisa be'ovim. Why don't we say that the water was in the clouds? Let's say we know for a fact that the clouds were there, and therefore, the water in the clouds should be more than 10 tefachim high, and therefore, tifshot mino, we should learn the answer to the question that we asked, are there tchumim above 10 tefachim or not? So here, if you're telling me that they were in the clouds and we're not concerned about that, so then, they ain't tchumim l'mala miyud. We should be able to answer that question. Because the yesh tchumim, because if we do say that the tchumim above 10 tefachim, so likni shvisa b'yavim, so then their mokum shvisa should be in the clouds. And then when they come down, you can't say it goes like ragli kolodim. Gemara says, no, you're wrong. La'olam, in fact, emil cho yesh tchumim. In fact, you could say that there is tchum above 10 amos, 10 tvachim. And why in the clouds is the cloud that the mokum shvisa? Umaya be'iva, and the water in the clouds? Mivloy bli, it's considered swallowed up. And therefore, it's not considered extant. And therefore, it doesn't acquire mokum shvisa. That's even worse. Kol shekein, da'uli nolad, de'asiri. In that situation, the waters are now reappearing or appearing on Shabbos for the first time. And that's something called nolad. It's born. And therefore, the girsa we have is da'asiri. The girsa of Bach is asiri. And it should be aser. So the water shouldn't be able to be moved at all. Nolad is muktza. It shouldn't be able to be moved at all. So Gemara says, okay, you're right. Elamaya be'ovim meinad naidi. In fact, the water in the clouds is moving. It doesn't sit still. It's this Brownian motion, and the water in the clouds is constantly moving. And therefore, it's not konishvi. So Gemara says, if that's your answer, then we could solve our problem about the Atlantic Ocean. Why is not konishvisa with the same answer? Hashla diosis lahachi. Now you're going to tell me this answer, that the water in the clouds is moving, so too. Achionis nami. The water in the Atlantic Ocean, the Mediterranean Sea, is also moving about. And therefore, lo likshu l'chamaya be'okiyonus, nami minid naide. You don't have a question. What about, why doesn't the water in the rain over here have its mokum shvisa Arab Shabbos in the Atlantic Ocean, the Mediterranean Sea? Because that's where it was? No, it was moving about. V'tanya, as we have a raya from the following braisa, this is b'nichusa, naharos, hamoshrin. If you have rivers that are flowing, umayananos hanovim, and you have wells that are have the wells, the water is flowing from them. Hare and kiragle call adam. In fact, they have the status of being not acquiring a mokum shvisa, even according to Reuchem and Nuri. And therefore, whoever picks it up, they will be able to go and take it to whatever tchum they're allowed to walk to. This is a good point to stop. So we'll stop today's shir over here.